Evening, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and I'll be looking at verses 23 through 31. I mentioned this morning at the end of the service that we would be observing the Lord's Supper this evening, and it's been a long time since we've observed the Lord's Supper, and we are now going to look at this passage of Scripture. Typically, as we observe the Lord's Supper, I'll preach a message and then we'll read this passage before we distribute the elements. But with it being as long as it has been, I thought it appropriate for us to revisit the passage and spend a little bit more time just going systematically through the passage of Scripture. We understand as New Testament believers, even as I said this morning, that the Word of God is the sole authority for our faith and our practice. And we believe biblically that the Lord Jesus Christ has given two ordinances to the local church. One is believers' baptism by immersion, and number two is the Lord's Supper. As you study the Scriptures, you will find that God has provided us with the instruction for, purpose of, and practice of these two ordinances. I'm thankful that He's given us the truth that we have in His Word with regard to these instructions and the purpose of these practices, if you will. And we find it's here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 that we really have the most detailed instruction regarding the Lord's Supper. We understand some things about the church in Corinth, and they weren't always doing things the way that they were supposed to be doing things. We find that the church in Corinth was a church that was a carnal church. It was a divided church, and all sorts of things going on. In fact, leading up to the text of Scripture that we're going to look at this evening, Paul says on two occasions, "I praise you not." And they were doing some things not appropriately. And so Paul says, "I praise you not. The way that you're doing it isn't right, so I'm going to give you instruction." And really, to me, that's a blessing. I'm so thankful for it. You know, it's one thing for someone to come and tell you you're doing something wrong. It's another thing for them to give you the instruction on how to get the wrong thing right. Amen? You're doing this wrong. And then they just walk away. And you're like, "Well, that's wonderful. I'm doing it wrong. I don't know how else to do it," right? But God is faithful to give us the Word, to give us instruction. And we find here this detailed instruction with regard to observing the Lord's Supper. In verse number 23, notice what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." And so again, as we would be mindful of the truth even that we're dealing with this morning, and we'll continue as we look at the book of Colossians with this truth and the source of truth, and Paul is saying, listen, this isn't just my opinion, this didn't originate with me, I've received this from the Lord, and I'm delivering it unto you. He says this, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." If you're taking notes, and you've seen in the bulletin as well, we got the sermon titles in the bulletin, since we're using bulletins again. "This do in remembrance of me." This do in remembrance of me. As we first, kind of by way of introduction, speak about the elements and what they represent, we understand that in verse 24, and then in verse number 25, God gives us, the Apostle Paul is sharing with the believers in Corinth here, the elements, the bread, of course, representing the body of Christ, and we, of course, would use unleavened bread because He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is without sin. We find that leaven throughout the Scriptures is a type or picture of sin, and therefore we would use an unleavened bread. The cup, as mentioned in verse number 25, represents the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for the blood of Christ that was shed, the price of our redemption. We understand, again, that we would use unfermented grape juice, again, because our Lord is without sin. And you would find that the process of fermentation is a process, biblically, when you look at those things and the type of sin and what have you. And so our Lord is sinless, and he was tempted in all points, such as we are, yet without sin. And what a wonderful blessing. As we think about the elements that will be partaken this evening as we observe the Lord's Supper, it's important for us to understand that these elements do not mysteriously, magically turn into anything other than what they are. It's an unleavened cracker and it's unfermented grape juice, and it is a representation of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's we understand that biblically. There are some groups of people that would teach that the substances, the elements, that they change into something other than what they are, and we need to be careful that we understand that the Lord is giving us this as a table of remembrance, and we'll look at these things in just a moment. As we go through the text of Scripture, but he was crucified once. Amen. This man, after he'd offered himself one sacrifice for sins forever, and he said on the cross of Calvary, "It is finished." These elements cannot save you. Amen. You can take as many unleavened crackers and unfermented grape juice as you want, and it's not going to cause you to be saved, it's not going to redeem you. And the reality is that these elements that we've purchased and that we use, there is absolutely zero saving power in those elements. We're saved through the blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ. Again, it's a representation, and so it's important that we would understand that truth this evening. A picture, if you will, a memorial making known to us and being mindful of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. We could ask ourselves this question, again, by way of introduction, not only what are the elements and what do they represent, but who is it that should participate? We find that this ordinance is to the local church. We mentioned that just a few moments ago, that I believe, and as you study the Scriptures, you'll find that there are two ordinances for the local church, and there's some Bible truth that God gives us with regard to the local church. Who can be a member of a local church? Well, we believe that saved people are members of a local church. Amen? You come to me and say, "Pastor, I want to join your church, and I want to be a part of this local assembly. I want to have my membership here." Well, it's not a club that you pay some dues and you kind of just join up and be part of the club. No, membership in a local church is an important thing, no doubt. It's a biblical thing. But we find that membership in a local church, there's proper candidates for membership. Are you saved? Have you been scripturally baptized? And if you have been saved and you've been scripturally baptized, then you are eligible to be a member of a local church. And those are the conversations that I have with individuals as they would come and speak to me about membership here, and we'd have those conversations. It's a great opportunity to speak about just our testimony and sharing what Christ has done in our lives and what a blessing that is. And so we know that this is for the local church, and the Bible speaks about this truth in verse 27, where it says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." And then it talks about examination. Again, we'll deal with that as we get into the message this evening. But we find that, again, it's for the believers. It's for those that are born again, saved, baptized, members of a local church. There are some, and I don't know, perhaps you've been exposed to some that have this idea of a close or a closed communion, as they would call it, or maybe they would use the terminology of an open communion. And someone that would have an idea of an open communion, they would carry with it the idea that, man, anyone can partake of it. And really, they would not give any type of instruction as to who it's really for. And someone that would believe, and I would fall in this category of a close communion, if you're saved, baptized, member of a church, maybe you're not a member at this moment, but you're actively looking for membership and praying and asking the Lord to provide direction with regard to membership, you're a member of another local independent church that stands for the truth of the Bible, then there's close fellowship. I visited churches in the past, and you show up, if we had visitors here from out of town that were members of a good good, solid, Bible-believing church and we're observing the Lord's Supper, I would not tell them, no, you cannot partake. I believe in close fellowship, if you will, or close communion. And so as we look at these truths and we look at these introductory kind of comments, a final question that could be asked is this: how often should we observe the Lord's Supper? Well, the Bible doesn't give us any specified timeline. In fact, in verse number 26 of the text of Scripture, the Bible says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup." And so it does not tell us specifically that you're to observe the Lord's Supper every week, every month, every quarter. It just doesn't tell us. It says, "As often as ye do." And so I believe that it's important that we observe the Lord's Supper with regularity. Of course, with this situation that's gone on in the last calendar year, we've had difficulties with regard to some of the things that have been said to us with regard to transmission and so on and so forth. And so we have sought to take certain precautions, and we have been able to secure these particular items that we can distribute and not have individuals passing them and everyone touching them and so on and so forth. And I am thankful for the opportunity to be able to have that. And I appreciate the opportunity to observe the Lord's Supper. I think it's an important thing. It's a God-mandated ordinance for the local church, and it's important. And we understand as we approach the Lord's Supper, as we approach the table, there's a level of sobriety that comes with it and a sobering understanding of what these elements represent and what our salvation really cost the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we think about this passage of Scripture and we think about these specifics that are given and some of the truth that is revealed to us, I want to just three quick thoughts this evening with regard to the purpose. Why is it that the Lord gave us this ordinance to be observed by the local church? In verses 24 and 25, I believe that we could look at and refer to the Lord's Supper as being a table of remembrance. A table of remembrance. You know that as human beings, we are prone to forget. We really are. And sometimes we forget entirely. We just cannot remember. Other times, it's not so much that we've completely forgotten something. It's just not at the forefront of our memory. We're not living with a daily awareness of that particular truth or that particular thing. And I believe that as we look at this passage of Scripture and we see these words at the end of verse 24 and 25, where it says, "In remembrance of me." In remembrance of me. You'll be mindful of the nation of Israel. They, of course, had been given instruction. In fact, God instructed Moses to give the children of Israel this instruction in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. After you come into a land and you are in a land and you're living in a place and there's vineyards that you did not plant, there's houses that you did not build, beware lest thou forget the Lord. You can ask yourself the question as you look at the history of Israel, you can say, how could they forget? But you know what Jeremiah said? God's indictment against the children of Israel, against Judah in particular, "My people have forgotten me days without number." Wow. They're not living with the daily awareness of who God is and what God has done for them. And there are times in our lives that if someone were to stop us and say, "Hey, are you saved? Are you redeemed? Man, absolutely. But sometimes in the rut of life and you're dealing with all sorts of things, maybe you're not just as aware of it as you should be. I don't know, maybe I'm just weird. I try to do things creative. Now, I'm not a very creative person, but I try to do things creative. And so, you know, they tell you that I'm going to wear a mask. I'm going to wear a mask that has a message on it that I'm going to try to share something about the Lord. And Jesus loves you. Jesus saves. I have them. I try to use them. In fact, most always when I put a mask on, it's one of those two. I have how many of you have, like, you know, your online banking and they want to give you a password, but then sometimes they give you a catchphrase. Give me a phrase. And so when you call in, they want to know, okay, tell me what your phrase is. It's some manner, some way in which they're identifying your identity. Secure. So I had to call the bank the other day. My code word is, I'm going to tell them, like, you guys, listen, if you steal my identity, it is, the Lord bless you, amen. But all those people watching online, they're getting all excited, you know. My code word is saved. I try to be creative on picking that word. Why? Because it means something. Saved from what? So I called the bank on Friday. And that guy gets on the phone and he's going to help me out. And of course, he knows the answer. And he gets excited on the other end of the phone. He says, "Oh man, this is good." He's like, "I want you to shout this answer." That's what he said to me. He said, "I just want you to shout it." He said, "What's your code word?" I said, "Saved." He said, "Man, that's good." I don't know who the guy is. But I can tell you something, that maybe in your occupation, in the monotony of life, something like that could happen in your life, and as a believer, you could be encouraged. I think on Friday afternoon when I spoke to that man, I think I encouraged him. I don't even know who he is, just by using that word. But all I'm saying about that is that, listen, this doing remembrance of me, in understanding what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, remembering the cost of our redemption, remembering that I'm a child of the King. I mean, the fact that my citizenship is in heaven. We sing with the kids, "I'm going to heaven, can't wait." There's some of God's people, they can't sing that honestly, because they got some tent stakes driven into this earth. They're not anxious to go to heaven, honestly. But we sing with the kids, "Gonna see Jesus, can't wait." Amen, right? You know, when you think about the reality of it, and you think about this pause, this doing remembrance of me, that's why it's so important to walk with God every day. Because every day when we walk with God, I hope that you thank God for your salvation. And you can spend a few moments just rejoicing in what He did for you. He did for you what no one else could ever do for you, what you could not do for yourself. As I was speaking with a man this week and I talked to him about what Jesus did for us, I said, "Listen, man, I'm a sinner. I can't die for you and save you. Me dying for you does nothing for you. And you can't die for me. But God in flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, He died for me." What are we remembering? Well, notice in verse 24, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." I'm not sure how often you read the gospel accounts, especially the latter chapters that deal with the crucifixion and how that Jesus suffered for your redemption, for my redemption. The way in which they smoked him, the things that they did, the torment that they tried to inflict upon him. He said, "This is my body. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The plan of redemption required a price to be paid. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter that Jesus is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, that you redeemed not with corruptible things, but were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish. Oh, I'm so thankful for the blood of Christ. There's no other way to be saved. Amen? And so this do in remembrance of me. We're being mindful of those hours in which the Lord Jesus Christ hung upon the cross of Calvary. And what was it that kept him there? Love. Understanding that he was paying a price to redeem mankind. This do in remembrance of me. Not only is it a table of remembrance, but I believe as we look at the passage of Scripture that it's a table of expectation. In verse 26, we touched on the first portion of this verse a moment ago when we spoke about how often we observe the Lord's Supper. But the Bible says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," notice what it says, "you do show the Lord's death till He come." Aren't you thankful that He's coming again? Hallelujah. I mean, what great truth. I mean, the reality of the truth that is before us of the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the blessed hope, as it would be referred to as Paul is writing to Titus. And we find that for us, as we would look to the Scriptures and we'd understand the promise that Jesus Himself gave, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Isn't that precious? See, I wonder how often, listen, I believe today that if I were to contact you at any point during the week and I were to stop you in the middle of whatever you're doing and say, hey, listen, do you think Jesus could come today? I think every single one of you would say yes, myself included. But you know, there's sometimes in life that we just get so bogged down with the things of the world and the things that are going on that we're not living with that expectation that Jesus could come at any moment. And so when we observe the Lord's Supper, not only are we remembering a table of remembrance of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us and the price that was paid for our redemption, but it's this table of expectation that my Savior's coming back for me. I mean, hallelujah, what a blessing. We don't know when, but we can rest assured that He's coming back. There's not one promise of God that's not been that will not be fulfilled. We understand that God is not a man that He should lie. Amen. And what God says, He will fulfill. We spent time last Sunday evening, the entirety of our time, in fact, looking at that truth from Genesis 17 and verse number 1, when God appeared to Abram and said, I am the Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai. We spent the entirety of our time last Sunday evening looking at that truth so that we could lay a foundation for the remaining verses in Genesis 17 and really set a foundation not only for Abraham and the truth that would be revealed there in Genesis 17, but even for our own lives. Because on about a dozen occasions, God is going to tell Abraham, I will do this. He's the Lord God Almighty. He's able. And He promised that He's going to come back for us. And so we find this evening that as we observe the Lord's Supper and what a privilege and blessing it is to be reminded, remember, as human beings, we're prone to forget and we're reminded of what Christ has done for us. We have this expectation that we're showing the Lord's death till He come. Wouldn't it be wonderful if He came tonight? I mean, honestly. Man, what a wonderful truth of the Word of God, the imminent return of Christ. It's a table not only of remembrance and expectation, but as we look forward into the passage, it's a table of examination. I'll say this, self-examination is not practiced as often as it should be. Sometimes in our lives, we look to perhaps look at ourselves in a better light than what the reality really is. We mentioned last week in Colossians 2 how that Paul had a great conflict not only for the believers in Colossae but those in Laodicea. We went to Revelation and looked at the passage of Scripture with the Laodiceans, and they had quite a different perspective with regard to their standing than God did. I mean, it was greatly contrasted what they believed and what God said was the reality. You didn't know that you were poor, naked, and blind. You thought you're filled with all these things. You have need of nothing. And so this evening we think about this truth of this table of examination. The Bible says in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. He says in verse number 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And we'd understand that even as Jesus said to the disciples in John 11 that Lazarus was asleep, He said he was dead. And here the idea of this passage, if you look at the truth here, is that there are some that would die. He says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. This truth of self-examination, let a man examine himself. You understand that the standard is Christ and His Word. Paul warned the believers in Corinth about comparing themselves among themselves. He said it's not wise. The standard is Christ. You know that Christ is the cornerstone. The standard is His Word. The prophet said that His Word is like a plumb line. You have a cornerstone and a plumb line, you can build any kind of building. And the reality is that we have the standard, the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. He's given us in His Word the truth with regard to those things that please Him and how we're to live our lives, and we examine ourselves as individuals based upon the truth of God's Word. But let a man examine himself. I know that often as we would think about this passage of Scripture and think about this process of self-examination, perhaps it's a process in which we're not eager to enter into. But it's a good process for us. It's a vital process for the child of God to have this self-examination. But there's some important aspects to self-examination. Number one, we need to be honest with ourselves. Truly say, I think, Mark, you prayed it this morning from Psalm 139, search us. Show us if there be any wicked way. Right? And we find that this truth of this self-examination, that we would truly ask the Lord and take His Word and let it search us out. What are some things that I'm not doing that I need to be doing? What are some things that I'm doing that I need to stop doing? And we have this process of self-examination. And so as we look at the passage of Scripture, we rejoice in the instruction that God has given us, and we rejoice in the process that we have as a local church that we can observe the Lord's Supper. And as we do, it's not just a tack-on kind of a thing that we just, you know, have the Lord's Supper. Man, it's a time in which we're really reflecting, taking some time to really remember what was done to pay for my salvation. You know, I think if we would have a greater appreciation for our salvation, it would really impact how we live for God. It really would. See, our salvation didn't really cost us anything. It cost Christ everything. I'm thankful for my salvation, and I'm thankful for the table of remembrance. This do in remembrance of me. I'm so excited about the return of Christ. And I'm listening for the trumpet, amen? I mean, honestly, I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. As we find in the book of James, the coming of the Lord, it draweth nigh. It draweth nigh. We don't know the hour nor the day, but oh, that God would help us to be motivated in how we live our lives. And as we take this evening, partake of these elements, that we would not only remember what He did for us and what it cost Him, but we would be mindful of His soon return, and we'd live in accordance to that truth. This evening we're going to have a time of examination. I think it's important before we observe the Lord's Supper that we take a few moments in the quietness of the moment to just really seek the face of God and allow God to deal with us. In a moment, Holly will play quietly on the piano. This idea of drinking and eating unworthily. I was in a church many, many years ago where someone said, well, I'm not worthy. They just kind of let it pass by them. Now, if you're not saved, you should not take these elements this evening. If you've not been born again, it's not for you. And I don't say that with not being kind. I'm just telling you. It's not for you if you're not saved. But if we have sin in our lives, it's not that we say, well, I'm not worthy, I can't partake. Because if we have sin in our lives, we have a forgiving God, as Holly mentioned in her testimony earlier this evening. I'm so thankful that the Bible tells in the Old Testament that with thee there is forgiveness. He's a God ready to pardon, ready to forgive. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The idea is not to hold on to our sin. As we go through the process of self-examination and God points something out, it's that we'd confess it and forsake it and have forgiveness so that we can partake. So, Holly, if you'd come and play quietly on the piano in just a moment, I'm going to pray, and then we'll have this time of examination. We'll pray again, and then we will partake of the elements. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word, the instruction that's contained therein. We pray, God, that You would help us tonight as we partake of these elements, to be mindful of the price of our redemption. This do in remembrance of me, the body that was broken for us, the blood that was shed to pay for our sin. How thankful we are for redemption through Christ. I pray that you'd help us to have a level of excitement as we have the expectation of your soon return. In these few moments, as we have a time of self-examination, I pray, God, that you'd help us to be transparent and honest before you. God, that we'd truly allow you to have your way in our lives. We truly allow you to search us and know us and show us. And Lord, that we would confess and forsake and receive forgiveness. I pray, God, that you'd bless the time. I pray that you alone would be honored and glorified. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.